Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Behold, the days are coming. That's how the text started tonight from Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days are coming. And that's our God. He's always looking ahead, isn't he? In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he's teaching us to look ahead. Sometimes he's having us look back to the beginning, creation, but oftentimes he's having us look ahead. Keep looking ahead, people of God. And you here on Advent and a midweek service in your life, I might ask you, are you looking ahead? Or are you looking back? Are you looking back on past things with maybe some regret or some failures and promises you've made that didn't work out or so forth? What are you looking at? God, in his word here, has us, behold, the days are coming, look ahead. Look ahead, not forget. There's another part here in the text. It's really great. Why should we look ahead? And it tells us, because I will fulfill the promise that I made. And this is God speaking, isn't it? I will fulfill the promise I made. He's not waiting for us to do something here in this text. He's not waiting saying, hey, you guys, now you guys get your act together and get this working and that working, this and this. No, it says, I will fulfill the promise that I made. And we hear about three things here about this promise in the text. Number one, there's a chosen people. Secondly, there's a chosen person. And third, there's a chosen purpose of this promise. The first part, it revealed in the text there, the chosen people. It says, I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And if you know, remember your map of Jerusalem and Judah and Israel, there were two kingdoms at this time in Jeremiah's life. The northern kingdom, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah. And he's saying that I will fulfill the promise that I made to Israel and Judah. Now, in this time, in 628 BC, Israel is already gone. Just the southern kingdom remains. The northern kingdom was wiped out by the Assyrians already. So he's saying, he's prophesying to a people that are already gone, to saying, I will fulfill the promise that I made to this house of Israel above, and to you who are still here, Judah, yet. So there's the chosen people who God has made this promise of old, and he's going to fulfill it. Just hang on, look ahead, wait. And now, the chosen person. It says, I will cause a righteous branch to be raised to rise up for David. What does that mean, a righteous branch? It's part of the promise that God makes. Well, when you think of branch, what do you think of? You don't think of animals. What do you think of? A tree, right? And that's the whole point. You're supposed to think of a tree, and one of the branches on the tree, it's going to be a descendant from that tree, a branch. But what is the tree? Well, the roots of it, you know. Of the roots would be David, as it says there in the text. He mentions David. He says, a righteous branch for the house of David. So David is the roots. The tree is all the people, the descendants of David. Now a righteous branch is going to extend from that line of people. And this righteous branch, as you notice in the text, is capitalized with a capital B. Why? Because it's not just talking about any branch. It's talking about a specific person. And that's Christ. And in the New Testament, they're pointing this out. They're even quoting this, you know, and some people even mistake Jesus for Jeremiah at one time, if you recall. But earlier on in the Gospel, it says, concerning the righteous branch, and it's quoting it concerning Jesus' birth. And if you know where Jesus grew up, it kind of helps too. Where did he grow up? He was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth, right? And the letters for Nazareth in Hebrew, N-Z-R, Nazareth, Nazarene, Nazareth. Netzer is branch in the Old Testament Hebrew. So the righteous branch, it's really a prophecy. And Jesus himself fulfills it for where he grows up in Nazareth. This chosen branch being Jesus, who is both God and man in one person. God will raise up a righteous branch. So that's the chosen people, Israel and Judah. The chosen person is Jesus. It's a prophecy of Jesus. And third, a chosen purpose. He will execute justice and righteousness. What does that mean? Well, when Jesus preached in his ministry, he did speak the law of judgments. Many people he spoke laws to, you shall not do this. And what do you think about that? That was probably the justice, if you will. And of course, when we think of justice, we really think of Jesus' day of the cross. Not because we know that God poured out all of his justice, all his anger on sin, not on us, not on Peter and the other apostles. He poured out all of his anger on who? On Jesus, didn't he? That's how God executes his justice, ultimately. He doesn't punish us for all of our sins. Yeah, he disciplines us. He allows us sometimes the folly of things that we choose that are wrong. But ultimately, what God does theologically and ultimately for us is he executes justice by pouring out all his wrath, all his anger for sin, not on us, but on Christ Jesus, the day of the cross, so that we get his innocence, right? And that's the righteous part. He will execute justice and righteousness. We get his righteousness as a gift freely. The word righteous comes up a little bit later in the text, too. We'll come back to that. But we know there's a chosen people, Israel and Judah, whom God made a promise. He's going to fulfill it to a chosen person that comes as righteous branch. That's Jesus. And the chosen purpose to execute justice and righteousness in the land. The result is known in the text, too. It says, again, in those days. In those days. Remember, look ahead. Don't look behind. Look ahead. What's coming? Look up with hope. In other words, keep looking ahead with hope, right? In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. Keep looking ahead. Things are going to be okay. God is establishing something according to his promise that makes Judah be secure and Jerusalem to be saved. That's something God does, not what we do, but what he himself does. And the other result, because the Messiah is coming, is that we correctly identify God. As it says here, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord, Yahweh in Hebrew, tzadikah nu, which means righteousness, and nu is the R. The Lord, Yahweh, is our righteousness. Some people think of God as the man upstairs. Some people think of God as the great unknown. Some of them identify him as some dancing figurine or some nature thing. It's really not the God of the Bible, is it? One of the greatest things that we get is God's name. He reveals it to us. And we know him in a different way than all the other religions and all the other people of the world. And it's revealed here in the text one way, the Lord is our righteousness. We don't have a righteousness apart from the Lord. We can't make ourselves righteous by our works, by our prayers. Can't pray 5 times a day, 10 times a day, 15 times a day and be more holy. How do we become holy? How do we become righteous in God's sight? By faith in Christ, knowing who the Lord is, that righteous branch, who he was prophesied to, a chosen people. That is not just for those chosen people. It's for all the earth. For everyone who hears and believes in the message that the prophet Jeremiah brings, and Isaiah and all the other prophets of old, the one Christ Jesus who is for all, in which we know his name, the Lord is our righteousness. That's a great gift to think about here in Advent. We don't know God as just the man upstairs, the great unknown. We know him as the Lord is our righteousness. And with those words, keep looking ahead. The days are coming. Look ahead, not just with fear, trembling, looking back to the past. Look ahead with the hope. The Lord is our righteousness. Amen. And now